Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think that the owners that disagreed with his political stance want to see this not work for Kaepernick so that other players don't do it, so that other players fall in line. I don't know if everybody's, quote, trying to send a message. I think some of the owners aren't trying to send a message. They just don't have the stomach to deal with Colin Kaepernick. But I believe it is at the point of lunacy that we've had so many other worse quarterbacks signed, and nobody has the stomach to deal with Kaepernick, which I don't believe is going to be that much of a crazy outcry. Joining us here on the show is senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, who's visited a number of NFL camps already, our friend Charles Robinson. Charles, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm actually, as we speak, I'm standing in Flowery Branch in Falcons practice right now.
Very cool. I'm going to get to you with the Falcons coming up here, but just on the Kaepernick situation, do you feel like Baldwin is right here? There's a message being sent by the NFL owners, or these guys just don't have the stomach to deal with what they fear is the public outcry?
I doubt it's a unified message. I mean, you're not going to get 31 owners and then the consortium in Green Bay all together and, you know, have some meeting where you're like, well, we're not going to sign this guy. I think it's a mixture of, I think there are probably some owners who are not thrilled with some of the things that he's done. And what's interesting to me is people keep talking about the kneel, you know, well, he took a knee. There's been more than that. And I think people need to stop just saying, well, the knee thing's over. It wasn't that long ago that, you know, Colin Kaepernick tweeted out the picture of the, you know, police badge next to the slave catching badge. And that's something that factors into an owner's mind and really a front office's mind when they're thinking about signing this guy. It goes beyond just the knee. Is he going to equate police in our community or are police going to see him equating themselves as being slave catchers, or this is what the history of the police department is, which is something that he basically insinuated on his Twitter account. So to me, it's wider than just the knee issue. I do think there's probably owners that are uncomfortable with it, that, you know, don't have any commonality with Colin Kaepernick in terms of life experience. And then I think there are a number of teams that look at it from the standpoint of, we don't want to deal with what comes along with this. Clearly there's a lot of buzz around him. We're seeing it now, and that's not going to stop. And then on top of it, where would he fit on our depth chart? People went nuts when Luke McCown got signed by Dallas, but look, Luke McCown's the last quarterback on their depth chart. You're definitely not signing Colin Kaepernick and all that comes with him to be the last quarterback on your depth chart.
I think those are all fair points. Charles Robinson joins us here from Yahoo Sports. You were in Georgia covering this Falcons team. I think the obvious question is, emotionally, can they get past the Super Bowl? Your sense of how much that hangs over that franchise is what?
I sense they're tired of answering that question, which is,
yeah,
you know, that's what comes along with losing in the Super Bowl, let alone losing a 28-3 lead. And I think they're completely just over that being the constant question. I think locally that passed pretty quickly, but the problem is they have a lot of national writers who come through and sort of dredge it up again. And, you know, they're just, at this point, they're trying to figure out how they're a better team than they were last season. So we won't really know the answer to that question until really the season begins, and we can see if they come out of the gate fast, if this is a team that starts 3-1, 4-0, whatever, people will stop talking about that pretty quickly. So I don't think then it becomes a question again until you get into the playoffs and whether or not there's any lingering thought to it. But I just think they're tired of that question, but that's also part of what comes with losing a Super Bowl.
You were in Oakland to take on, or you were with the Raiders, rather, to see how it's going with them, and they have obviously this kind of hanging over their heads of moving out of Oakland. Now, oftentimes when there's relocation, that can distract a team, and it's very difficult. We haven't ever seen many successful transitions, but it's a couple of years away. Right now, is it all focus on 2017 and they're not even really worried about the Vegas thing coming up? Or do you feel like maybe it's a little disjointed because they have that in their future?
I don't think it is at all, because there's, first off, like you said, I mean, it's a number of years away, minimum 3 years away. And really, when you look at NFL rosters nowadays, how much does a roster turn over in 3 years? Shoot, their roster right now, 80% of these guys are going to be gone in 3 years. Just when you look at how NFL rosters turn over. Now, they're a pretty good team, so it shouldn't turn over that much. But I bet you could probably guarantee 50% of the team will be different in 3 years. So it just seems so far off in the distance. I think the fans, from the fan reaction, I saw Mark Davis actually visited practice while I was out there. It wasn't like anybody booed him or yelled at him or anything. I think that the way I kind of termed it, sort of a long goodbye for the Raiders. They have a number of years here before it really factors, and they have a chance to give their fans something in that time span. And if players will talk to you about it, which is sort of a rarity, I don't think they want to keep going back to it, but they'll tell you they want to provide something for the fans. They want to win going out. And I think signing Marshawn Lynch actually probably helped this situation, because there are a lot of people in Oakland that love Marshawn Lynch, embrace Marshawn Lynch. He embraces Oakland. And I actually think bringing him in a way, shifted a little bit of the focus to, hey, it's great they have Marshawn back in town. He's in shape. He's going to be a big factor. I just think they've done a good job of not letting it sort of sit on that focus of, hey, we're not going to be here in 3-4 years.
Charles Robinson, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports. He's covering the Broncos, or covering the Falcons right now, rather. He has seen the Broncos this offseason. And Denver's in a weird slot. I mean, they still have a dominant defense in so much of the core that went to the Super Bowl and won it just 2 years ago, but they're kind of off of the radar in terms of Super Bowl expectations, and yet they really shouldn't be, right? Because if they get decent quarterbacking, it can't be much worse than what we saw in the final season of Peyton Manning. Do they feel to you like they're sliding under the radar?
Yeah, a little bit. I think you hit on it. It's the quarterbacks. Everyone, when you're not settled at quarterbacks, it's really hard to imagine any team being a Super Bowl contender, simply because it's a position, and if you don't have that sorted out, how can you realistically pin Super Bowl expectations on a team? But you said, I mean, defensively, they're great. They're still an elite-level defense. There's no doubt about that. They're still a Super Bowl-caliber defense. I think there's backfield depth. They should be able to run the ball. They've shuffled the offensive line. I think they're still working that out. But I think offensively, they should be a better team. But it is. It's going to come down to the quarterbacks, and I think fans are having a hard time. I saw a lot of people sort of reacting negatively to what I wrote, which is just that the Broncos really want Paxton Lynch to seize that job, and it's just not happening right now. Trevor Siemian is in the lead right now, almost by default. I don't think he's been great. He's just been consistent. And I guess if they can get consistency out of the quarterback position, whoever it is, and it's a 25-touchdown, 12-14 turnover season, you can probably still be a Super Bowl contending team with the rest of the talent on that roster, but just it being up in the air right now, and Paxton Lynch having been that first-round pick, not really seizing the job the way the Broncos wanted, it's a little bit of a hitch in the plan.
Yeah, I thought that story that you wrote was really interesting from Colorado, and I wonder, are they worried that from a football standpoint, played at Memphis, and so he wasn't necessarily a Power 5 conference big-time quarterback, are they worried that football-wise, he just doesn't have the skills? Are they worried about attitude-wise, he's not rising to the occasion?
It's the full evaluation right now. And that's I actually asked Lynch, you know, do you realize are you cognizant of the evaluation beyond just when you're taking snaps out there is continuing? And he kind of said, look, I'm not thinking about, you know, hey, our coach is watching me right now. Like, you know, and I think what he meant was when I'm walking around the facility or whatever. But the truth is, I think it is a full evaluation. Now, it doesn't mean that it's a full evaluation for John Elway, but there are a lot of different people on that staff that are formulating opinions about him. Coaches, personnel people, support staff, everyone's still looking at him, and I think he has to understand everything he does, who he's hanging out with, what time he's showing up in the building, you know, what he does when he's on the field. All of that still, I think, factors in. But at the end of the day, I can tell you this. John Elway wants to see one thing. He wants to see him go out on the field, go through his projections or progressions, be decisive, make good plays, and just take the job, step into the role. And that's really what's, I think, holding him back ultimately, because I think if he was doing that, whatever the rest of the assessment is on him, as long as he's playing well, they're going to find a way to get him in there. And to me, that's sort of the underlying long-term problem here is Elway wants to see him get an opportunity. He wants to see what he has. But you have a coaching staff that may ultimately look at Trevor Siemian and say, that's our guy who can give us the best chance to win. That's never great when you have a front office who definitely wants to see what a guy can do and a coaching staff that says, hey, this is the guy that's going to help us win now.
That's really interesting. Let's wrap up with the Dallas Cowboys. They're the never-ending soap opera of the NFL. Ezekiel Elliott stuff has been all over the news. Dak Prescott into year two. Jerry Jones all over the news. All these suspensions on defense. From your sense, up close and personal with the Cowboys, what do you view as their biggest challenge coming off that great season last year?
They better be scoring a lot of points, especially early. Like you said, the defensive suspensions are a big problem. They're all sitting there looking at Dak saying, okay, this is, you got to take that step forward. We can't afford to have any kind of a sophomore slump for you. Look, offensively, I think they just know that with the guys that are going to be in and out of the lineup early on defense, it's a little bit like last season. You're going to have to score a lot of points. You're going to have to win games offensively. And then hopefully, I think they hope by midseason, their record is still in good enough shape that when these guys are all coming back and getting reintegrated into the scheme, you know, then maybe they can balance things out a little bit more. But they need Dak to really blossom a little bit. And that's what's happening right now. The playbook's opening a lot more for him. And, you know, I think they're going to take some shots downfield with him. I think it's going to be more of a complete offense than it was maybe last season. And that's if that doesn't lead to a lot of points, I mean, there's going to be a little bit of a scramble there the first half of the season.
That's interesting. Charles Robinson joining us here on the show. He is all over the NFL. He's got camp reports coming out for yahoosports.com, so go there to read them. Also follow him on Twitter for his latest, and that is at Charles Robinson, and a very interesting piece on why Paxton Lynch right now is not the odds-on favorite to win that quarterbacking job, and it could be Trevor Siemian by default. Charles, always good to catch up, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. Always my pleasure.
You got it.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.